Let us now turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Continuing the series of the very first gospel ever written. And it was written first to the Jewish people. As Roman declares, it is to the Jew first came salvation, and then to the nations. Father, as we're turning to these portions of Scripture, we ask that you would bless your word as it goes forth, that it would accomplish all that you desire for it to be, Almighty God. May your body of Messiah be equipped, that the whole messianic body of Messiah be equipped by your word, Almighty God. May we be inspired to fulfill the calling that you've put on each one of us, both as individuals and also the corporate body of Messiah. May we receive the bread, the unleavened bread today, without sin that brings life. For Yeshua declared himself as the bread of life. For what town was he born from? But Bethlehem, the house of bread. You probably found your portion right there. Chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. When Yeshua came into the territory around Caesarea Philippi, he asked his Talmidim, that's the word for disciples. And for some of you who have never heard the name of Yeshua, what does Yeshua mean? Jesus, salvation. And if you ever were reading the Old Testament, whenever it speaks of salvation, the salvation of Adonai, it's literally spelling out Yeshua's name. In the Hebrew, it's written Yeshua, plain and simple. So his name is mentioned in the Tanakh. Continuing, who are the people saying the Son of Man is? They said, well, some say that you are Yohanan the Immerser, who is Jonathan the Baptizer, or Eliyahu, Elisha, and some others are say Yirmiyahu, which is Jeremiah, or of the prophets. But you, he said to them, who do you say that I am? Shimon, who is Simon, Kepha, who is Peter, answered, you are the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Shimon bar Yohanan, Simon, son of John, Yeshua said to him, how blessed are you, for no human being has revealed this to you. No, it was my Father in heaven. I also tell you this, you are Kepha, which means rock. And on this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overcome it. And I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in the heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then he warned his Talmidim not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Yeshua began making it clear to his Talmidim, his disciples, that he had to go to Jerusalem, to endure much sufferings at the hands of the elders and the head Kohanim, the high priest, and the Torah teachers, that he had to be put to death. But on the third day, he had to be raised to life. Kepha Peter took him aside and began rebuking him. Heaven be merciful, Lord. By no means will this happen to you. But Yeshua turned his back on Kepha, saying, get behind me, Hasatan, Satan. You are an obstacle in my path, because your thinking is from human perspective and not from God's perspective. Then Yeshua told his Talmidim, if anyone wants to come after me, let him say no to himself, take up his execution stake, his cross, and keep following after me. For whoever wants to save his own life will destroy it, but whoever destroys his life for my sake will find it. What good will it do someone who gains the whole world but forfeits his own life? Or what person can give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory and his holy angels. Then he will repay everyone according to his conduct. Yes, I tell you that there are some people standing here who will not experience death until the Son of Man comes into his kingdom. The title of today's message is Abba, Father, God's Perspective or Yours? What are you living by? Are you interpreting the world by your own experience, or are you being led and living by God's perspective and by His Word? Abba, Father, God's. Backing up here a moment, Yeshua had recently encountered an attempt by the Purishim, that's the Pharisees, and the Zidikim, who are the Sadducees, to trap him. But here is a little bit of background on that. So Yeshua and his Talmudim went north to Caesarea Philippi. Where is that in Israel? It's north of the Sea of Galilee, almost directly north, and a little bit east, all right? Which is today, if you looked up on a map, the name of Banyas. And it is at the foot of Mount Hermon, or Hermon in some of your translations, where the Jordan River springs forth. It is birthed out of there. Now, Herod Philip refurbished this town and renamed it in honor of the emperor and himself. All right? That's why it got that new name, Caesarea Philippi. All right? A little bit of background here. This particular place where Yeshua and his Talmudim stood was at the very base of Mount Hermon. And it was at this site that in many pagan temples were established. Think about that as a background. Here is the Messiah who is presenting the revelation of God the Father. And where does he bring them to? His own disciples? But a very place in the nation of Israel for hundreds of years where there had been ongoing pagan rituals. Quite a unique place to be, right? He's not in a synagogue teaching his Talmud. He's bringing them at the literal representative of the enemy in the nation of Israel and how the children of Israel even participated in their black, backslidden condition, worshiping the gods of the nations. See, what Yeshua is doing here, he's doing a comparative lesson, undeniable before them. I know this, being Jewish, we tend to be very, very superstitious. So you can imagine the 12 Talmudim, of all places on the earth, why did Yeshua bring them to a place where there were numerous pagan destroyed temples? Because he wanted to declare a point to them. And sometimes we miss this as we read the scripture. So now let's go further into the details. It was a site of a number of pagan temples. If we were touring there today, we could walk among their ruins and see the footprints on the floors and on the wall and the little niches carved into the mountainsides where many statues once stood. Pagan idols. Ashtoreth, Molech. To the left of the ruins, we would see the mouth of a very large cave, partially filled with water. But in Yeshua's day, the water would gush forth out of the cave without warning, as it was spewing up from the depths of the earth. When the waters were calm, people would try to measure its depth, but they couldn't reach the bottom. It became known as the gates of hell. Wait a second. Where is Yeshua brought his Talmudim? To what the people of Israel believed as being the literal gates of hell. Let's continue here. In the middle of this pool stands a large table rock, and on this rock, the children were sacrificed to appease the angry god Molech. Now, you may think that this was not widespread through Israel's history of worship of pagan idols. But what does the scripture record? That one of the kings, a king that was giving more wisdom and knowledge and understanding than any other man who's ever lived, Solomon, If you study the scripture very carefully, you'll see it be revealed. He even allowed some of his descendants to pass through the fires. Because what was he warned? Just like David was warned. They were to write out the Torah with their own hand from beginning to end, from year to year, in that they would honor the mitzvah, the teachings that Adonai had established. And it was warned this, that you shall not be like what? All the other nations, acquiring many horses and many wives. Because the wives that he intermarried with and making treaties with these pagan nations brought his heart from the presence of the Lord. And there was a season in his life that Solomon was in a backslidden condition. And what is Israel presently when Yeshua is dealing with this at this time? Israel is in a backslidden condition. And Yeshua was sent to restore whom? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Yeshua is bold. He's bringing his disciples to the very place that has been declared as the gates of hell. Let's continue. After the child was slain, the body would be thrown into the water. If it sank, Molech was pleased. If not, the sacrifice was in vain. With the knowledge of this background, we can now better understand the significance of Yeshua's words when he told Kepha in Matthew 16:18, I tell you, you are Kepha, which means rock, and I will build my messianic community. And the gates of Sheol, the gates of hell, and where are they? What are they looking at? There's water spewing out of that cave as Yeshua is declaring this to them. And I will build my messianic community, and the gates of Sheol will not overcome it. Talk about a literal illustration of what's going on here. There's a struggle going on with the hearts and the minds of the Jewish people. And what does HaSatan want to do? He wants to destroy this work that Yeshua is establishing. Who are these 12 men? These 12 men are the ones that Yeshua very, very soon is going to be passing on his baton. That truth and light will be revealed to Israel. And let us not forget, of the 11, there's one there who is an agent of HaSatan. And what is his name? Judas. Because he saw the miracles, he saw the power of God being revealed. The Rhema word of God that came from Yeshua's lips. And he chose from his own perspective to benefit himself. Let's continue here. So let us begin now with Yeshua is with his Talmudim, now back at the base of Mount Hermon, which has the evidence of pagan worship in the land of Israel. See, it's undeniable. Yeshua wants us to do what? To deal with sin. The scripture says over and over again, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. If there's confession, if there's true repentance, let us continue. It is at this place that Yeshua asks the question of his Talmudim. Who are the people saying that the Son of Man is? Think of that context here. Here is a false god. The temples of the false gods, who are numerous. Satan HaSatan has been busy, has he not? There is only one way to Abba, Father, God, and it's through Yeshua, his son. And this is what Yeshua is declaring to him. These are the things that you guys are going to be facing. Are you willing to sacrifice all so the kingdom can be proclaimed? This isn't a game here. This is reality. And Yeshua wants to impress that on their hearts and souls. Because they've seen the demonic activity. They've seen Yeshua literally deliver people from demonic hold on their lives. This is a very, very spiritual and a literal teaching for them to receive and for all believers. And they gave Yeshua many answers. Some say Yohanan the Immerser or Eliyahu, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Yohanan the Immerser was a powerful presence that the people of Israel would not be surprised to see him again. And if you read the scriptures closely in Matthew, it says this, that Herod Philip, all right, he thought that Yeshua was the resurrected John the Baptist. So that's not out of the question here. Next, the prophet Eliyahu, Elijah, was expected to reappear before the great and terrible day of Adonai comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, this is Adonai speaking, I will come and strike the land with complete destruction. Tim gave an illustration earlier about Mark Twain's estimation when he went and he visited the Promised Land in the 1800s. What did he see? A land of destruction. The scripture I quoted there is Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And for us to understand the context of this, what have we been recently been celebrating? Passover. And we've set a place sitting there for someone. It's not Yeshua, but Eliyahu. Why do we do that as Jewish people? Because the very last prophet to speak in the Tanakh was who? Malachi. And these were his last words. That Eliyahu, Elisha the prophet, would come and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to rise up for their spiritual anointing and leadership, to lead the hearts of the children. And the children's hearts would be led to the fathers. And that's an example of all children, no matter what nation you're from being led to the heart of Abba, Father God. Continuing now, the prophet Jeremiah, who is Jeremiah, opposed the religious leaders in Jerusalem and the temple. No doubt about it, Yeshua spoke with authority. Most people assume that he must be a prophet. Even today, this is a very important question. If you were to ask somebody today, who do you think Jesus or Yeshua is? Is he simply a curse word? Or is he the Lord of your soul? For Jews who do not believe in Yeshua to be their Messiah, they say that Yeshua is a wise teacher, a miracle worker, a prophet, a charismatic leader of a Jewish sect. Those of you who call yourselves Christians, you have been grafted in to the olive tree of life of the Messianic community. So you are part of a Jewish sect. Rome did not give birth to your salvation. The popes did not. It was through the holy apostles, who were what? All Jews. Who do others say that the Son of Man is? It is not hard to find an answer. The most important question is what each of us have to say. From your perspective, who and what is the Son of Man? Who is Yeshua to you? Here's the second question that Yeshua asked. Who do you say that I am? Personally, have you come to know your salvation, Yeshua, through your personal relationship with him? Or did you ride the coattails of a parent, a grandparent, or a very impressionable friend? Cephas said, and he was the first one to speak, you are the Mashiach, the Son of the living God. Now let us now focus on Yeshua's response. How blessed are you, for no human being has revealed this to you. It was my Father in heaven. Not Yeshua himself. He didn't say, oh, by the way, Peter, I really need to introduce myself. I have to first let me remove this veil from your eyes so that you may see truly who I am. But I am Yeshua, your salvation. I'm the Son of God. Okay, it did not come that way. He was not impressed by the miracles, the signs or wonders, but this was a personal revelation by the Spirit of the living God. Remember the Purishim and the Zedekim, the Pharisees and scribes, in the beginning part of chapter 16? They were seeking for a miraculous sign from heaven, but didn't receive one because they weren't seeking diligently with their whole heart and being after Abba, Father, God. These scripture quotations are from the Tanakh that was written and established, translation of 1917, Davarim, Deuteronomy. But from thence ye shall seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him, if thou search after him, whenever you search with all your heart and soul. See, Kepha was searching for the Father to be revealed. He was searching for Eliyahu to come. And he saw that one did come in the spirit of Eliyahu, who was what? Yohanan the Immerser. Mishlei, Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek earnestly shall find me. Were the Purishim, were the Pharisees and the Zedekim, the Sadducees, were they searching after God with their whole heart and soul? No, they were steeped in their tradition and their religion, and that was sufficient for them. Yerimahu, Jeremiah 29:13. And you shall seek me and you will find me when you shall search for me with all your hearts. Not one person has come to know Yeshua in and through salvation unless they're at this point in their life, searching after him with their whole heart and soul. Because the Spirit of the living God reveals to us that we are sinners lost with no hope but in and through Yeshua. You see, Kepha was going through this transformation, and that's why he was first to speak according to the scripture. Trust and faith is, first and foremost, a gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Spirit of the living God, not something that we can conjure up in our own merits, our own works. We should always pray to Yeshua to increase our trust and faith, to do according to his will. Trust and faith are a gift of the Spirit of the living God. Be grateful for what you have been given and trust Abba, Father God, to build you up to accomplish his will in your life. So now Kepha shared his perspective of what was revealed to him by Abba, Father God. Yeshua affirmed him in verse 17, and he declared, Shimon bar Yohanan, Simon, son of Yohanan, John, how blessed are you, for no human being has revealed this to you. No, it was my Father in heaven. Continuing verse 18. I also tell you this, you are Kepha, and on this rock. Now the Roman Catholic Church took the on this rock, and they came up with a brand new idea. It was through Constantine. He declared, you know what? I have to remove Jewish hold on the Messiah, Yeshua. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to supplant this. I'm going to cause all the feasts of the Lord to be abolished. And I will establish new festivals and new feasts. And I will establish my own priesthood that will be underneath my anointing and my power, under my discretion. All right? And that is what has happened. And so now to break this down, on this rock, and what is the rock? It's not Peter, but it is a revelation of truth, which is what? Mashiach. What is the corner foundation stone of every Messianic community? Yeshua. And if he needs not only to remain as a foundation, but he needs to be the focal point, the target of that congregation for them to continue to grow and to be truly a body of believers, one in Messiah. Continuing, I, Yeshua, will build my Messianic community and the gates of Sheol, which are what? The literal gates of hell, will not overcome of that. Further clarification, what comes as a flood in our lives at time? The demonic horde. It comes like in a flood. To do what? To destroy the Messianic community. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys, all right? Abba, Father, God's authority and his will of the kingdom of heaven. In consequences of his confession, Yeshua makes Kepha both a shamesh, which is a steward. Okay? And 1 Timothy 3:8 through 13. And with these keys, he becomes the dayan, the judge, who is the one who can prohibit and permit and establishes a new covenant, haklaha, which is what? A way of living. All right? So now to verse 20. Whatever you prohibit on earth by Abba, Father, God's revealed truth. Okay? Remember that. You're given these keys and authority not for your own whim or your own fancy or for your own personal gain, but you're being entrusted as a steward. These things will be prohibited in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth by Abba, Father, God's revealed truth will be permitted in heaven. Yeshua teaches his Talmudim what must happen to him as the Messiah, and it's completely misunderstood here in two later occasions in all this portion. And is even at the last Pesach or the last Seder, and also after Yeshua's resurrection in Acts 1, 6, and 7, they did not comprehend the magnitude of Yeshua having to die and to raise from the dead. Now back to verse 20. Then he, Yeshua, warned his Talmudim not to tell anyone that he was the Mashiach, the Messiah. Was Yeshua a self-promoter? Absolutely not. What was he establishing in the people's hearts? The Father's kingdom. It wasn't about him, but it was about the Father, the unity of the Godhead. Continuing, verse 21. From that time on, Yeshua began making it clear to his Talmudim that he had to go to Jerusalem, to endure much suffering at the hands of the elders and the head Kohanim and the Torah teachers. And he had to be put to death. But on the third day, he would be raised to life. Then, here's a change. Because remember this. We as human beings, when the anointing of God comes on us, we have to battle with what? Our own carnal nature. All right? Because at this point in Kepha Peter's life, he felt a little puffed up. All right? Yeshua was just giving me kudos for hearing the Father's revealed truth and proclaiming before the rest of the Talmudim, the disciples, that he is the Mashiach, okay? So now let us look to this verse here. Kepha, Peter, took Yeshua aside and began rebuking him. Wait a second. Who is he rebuking? The literal representation of Abba, Father, God. He's rebuking him. Because he believes this, he's going by his own thinking, his own estimation of things yet to be done, all right? Because from his perspective, the Messiah would come and he would drive out all the enemies throughout all Israel. You know what they were playing? They were playing a parade into Jerusalem where Yeshua would descend, and he would descend upon the throne of David. All right? Just as Tim shared in the Torah portion, prior to the Torah portion there. The last king, Zedekiah. But here they were expecting him to come and to drive out all these Romans. Okay? That was on his heart. And so from that perspective, man's thinking, wait a second, isn't he a spiritual man? Has he not received the keys of the kingdom to prohibit what goes on in heaven and both earth? Yes, but how is he to make these decisions? By the perspective of our Father God's revealed truth. So let us continue here. I had to lay that framework here, otherwise this doesn't make any sense. Then Kepha took Yeshua aside and began rebuking him. Heaven be merciful, Lord. By no means will this happen to you. What did Yeshua do? He proclaimed what was going to happen so he could fulfill Scripture. But in Kepha's opinion here, if he truly was the Pope, all right, then he should be able to put Yeshua, the representative of God, in his place, right? But this is not happening here. This is a fallacy of man taking what God has established and to use it for his own gain. I'm speaking of Constantine here, not Caiapha. Continuing. Question, was Caiapha's perspective and his thinking, was it by Abba, Father God's revealed truth? Yes or no? Let's continue, we'll find the answer. But Yeshua turned his back on Caiapha and he said, "Get behind me, Hasatan, Satan. You're an obstacle to my path." Because what was the path that Yeshua was on? He had to go to Jerusalem. He had to be handed over to the elders. And they were going to treat him harshly. And then later he was going to be turned over to the Romans, who put him to death to fulfill Scripture. So let us continue here. You're an obstacle in my path because your thinking is from a human perspective. See, he's trying to win back Caiapha, Peter. What you perceive as being a word from the Lord is not a word from the Lord. I'm standing right in front of you, and you're trying to stop me from saving not only your life, but everyone's life. Because what would have happened if Yeshua said, "Okay, I accept that, I repent, and I go off." And he never went to the tree. He never went to the cross. He never died. He never rose from the dead. God gives us discernment. Because Yeshua is asking them, "Who do you say that I am? What do the people say that I am? And what has the Father revealed to you who I am?" Continuing. So now the keys that were given to Yeshua, given by Yeshua to Caiapha, have they now been taken away from Caiapha, Peter? There is no keys or authority unless the work of permitting and prohibiting is only done by Abba, Father God's revealed truth, and that he will never contradict the Scriptures. There are many prophets and apostles that are walking about throughout the earth right now, and they're proclaiming brand new revelations that don't even line up with the Scriptures of God. Let's continue here. Yeshua declared, "The works you see me doing, I see Abba, Father God, doing." If you want to have a representation of what the body of Messiah is to be, you'll find it in the Scriptures. Not some newfangled plan that is being established, but it's here with Yeshua as the cornerstone. He is the foundation. The foundation is what? The prophets and the apostles that are in this book and the revelation that they received. Amen? Amen. Yeshua declared, "The works you see me doing, I see Abba, Father God, doing. I do his will and not my own. All we who are his Talmudim, his disciples, we need to do likewise." Verse 24, then Yeshua told his Talmudim, "If anyone wants to come after me, let him say no to himself." Boy, that's not preached very often in the body of Messiah, is it? And it's not being lived out. It's all about them. Buy my tapes, buy my books. Send me your money. I'll pray for you. And God will place upon you, push down, shaken together, will he pour a blessing upon you so you won't even contain it. They take that scripture and they twist it out for their own gain. What were the Pharisees and the Sadducees doing? The same. Yeshua told his Talmudim, "If anyone wants to come after me, let him say no to himself. Let him take up his execution stake and keep following me. For whoever wants to save his own life will destroy. But whoever destroys his life for my sake will find it. What good will it do someone if he gains the whole world but forfeit his life? Or how can a person give in exchange for his own life? For the Son of Man will come in the Father's glory." Notice that. Whose glory will he return, come in? His Father's. It's all about the Father. Yeshua is exalting his Father. And what do we all desire? To know the Father's love. It was the Father's love that one day turned to his right, who was sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But Yeshua said, now go. Be born of the Virgin Miriam and go and be my Shamash, my servant, and lay down your life for the greatest of my creation, men and women, that they may have salvation in and through me. For the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory with his angels. Who are the angels belong to? The Father. And then he will appear. Who is he? Yeshua. He will repay everyone according to his conduct. How have you lived your life? Has it been by your perspective and by the doctrines of men, by your religion, or has it been by Abba, Father, God's revealed truth to you? Have you been led by the Spirit of the living God or by your own estimation or your thinking? Yes, I tell you that there are some people standing here who will not experience death until they see the Son of Man, that's a messianic term, the Messiah, coming in his kingdom. Okay? Now some would say, how could Yeshua say that? That there may be some here with his second coming. What does the scripture say about his second coming? Yeshua doesn't know when that day is going to be. But only the Father knows. Only the Father knows. And just as Yeshua is not now sitting at the right hand of the Father, he is what? He's bringing his blood upon the altar that he showed Moses when he made the Mishkan and all the articles that are in the Mishkan. That is the tabernacle. That was a literal representative of what was already in the heavens that Yeshua had already created. And it says when he ascended to the Father, he brought his own blood and laid it upon that heavenly altar. And he intercedes continuously 24/7 on our behalf, praying and interceding on our behalf. And that one day when he's going through this daily service, and he's not bringing the blood of animals, lambs, sheep, or bulls into the presence of the Father, but his own literal blood, all right? You know what's beautiful? If you want to know the destination of a child, its origin, whose blood do you draw? The mother's or the father's? The father's. What blood did Yeshua have coursing through his veins? Abba, Father, God, through the Ruach. The Spirit of the living God, the triunity of the Godhead. Each one had a specific portion of it. It wasn't Abba, Father, God who stretched him forth over Miriam, but it was the Spirit of the living God. And so as Yeshua is standing in the presence of the Father daily, praying and pouring his own blood upon the altar on our behalf, that day and hour, the Father will declare to him, now, son, now go. Go and receive your bride. And then he shall descend upon where? Rome? Tokyo? Berlin? No, he'll descend upon Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, and it will be split in two, and he shall go through the gate that has been sealed, the golden gate, and he shall ascend to where? Upon the Temple Mount, and he shall reveal himself to all the nations. This is all going to be worked out. So the question is, who do you say the Son of Man is? Is he truly your Messiah or not? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother Tim, come and close our service. Thank you.
Everyone, please rise for